from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I do think teams are more aware of their salary cap.
We're in and out?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Charlie. I thought you were handing Casey another hamburger.
That was another double-double.
No, that's
do I look like I want to take my life in my hand?
Charlie said to me yesterday, I thought I was pretty slick in handing the hamburger off yesterday. It's like, Charlie, you were very slick.
Very smooth. Very smooth.
Very, very smooth. He brought us the A schedule. That's what Charlie brought in for us, the A schedule. He didn't know Matt George was joining us in 15
minutes. Yeah, he should have done this an hour ago.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's what you...
Thank you, Charlie. I'll say this before he gets here. It's kind of exciting.
That's very exciting. It's very exciting. I just keep looking at these weekends.
Even if it's bad baseball, it's baseball. It's like, the Giants will be here. The Yankees will be here.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Jazzy 510 will be flirting with Aaron Judge live in person.
Well, I don't know why we got to go there, but Tatis is coming to town. Wow.
That's good stuff.
The Giants drafted this guy. I don't think he'll be playing next year. Maybe not. This guy out of Mississippi State that is going to be my favorite player. He talks crazy when he hits home runs.
I wonder who we have to beg to throw out a pitch at an A's game.
Should happen. It should happen.
I guess Vivek can have opening night.
I guess.
Give us the Yankees.
Yeah, give us the Yankees. That's what we want. Give me that Yankees.
Yeah, don't give us the Giants one, because the last thing we need is Kenny showing up to throw out the first
pitch
of an A's game with a Giants hat on.
Don't do that to me. Although, you know, I like the Yanks too. I like the Yanks. Yeah, I even like the Mets. The Mets are coming to town too. Make it the Phillies. I don't like the Phillies. So go ahead, make it a Phillies one.
You really do hate Philadelphia.
Well, I don't have that much of a problem with the Sixers.
You're like Bret Hart. I'd stick the holes right here in Philadelphia.
My people in Baltimore. Baltimore coming to town.
Let's stop talking about it because we don't want to.
A little too close.
Yeah. We don't want to upset anybody. Casey and I saw this yesterday because we are together all freaking day. I read this out loud. I was kind of. Chris Middleton had 2 surgeries.
That was wild.
I'm sorry. Let me be a little bit clear. Chris Middleton had 2 surgeries this offseason.
Oh, no.
2 arthroscopic surgeries on his ankle. For those who aren't familiar with the term arthroscopic surgery, it's the scope. The scope, they minimize as much as they can. They say it's a cleanup. They stick a vacuum in there and just clean it up.
That's crazy.
It was your girl who told me they put four week timelines on these scopes. They're like, yeah, no, they'll minimize it as much as they can. Mm-hmm. You're not going to feel normal for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now that's still quicker than an ACL. It's still quicker. They you could do all of this stuff. In 4 to 6 weeks, you're not going to feel right. And it was Dawn Staley that told me that. It's like, if you can avoid, that's scopes, I find the whole, and I'm not, shout out Zebra PT. I'm not a, so she says, well, But I'm not reading what Zebra wrote. But
I mean, why not?
Well, because okay, be adults for 2 seconds.
My flag's in that studio, so you're good right now.
Zebra says loose bodies can hurt. So what's, she's talking about the loose things that they clean up with these scopes. Mm-hmm. But I'm so fascinated at the idea. Like, we're going to go in there and we're just going to look around. You're going to look around for what? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. You're going to go in there and clean it up. Look, like, what, they got dust bunnies in there? Like, what? I've never understood the concept of that type of surgery. Like, if you're having ACL surgery, mm-hmm. what are you doing? You're going in to repair an ACL. Mm-hmm. Got it. You're having Achilles surgery. What are you doing? You're going in to reattach the Achilles tendon. Mm-hmm. Got it. Completely understood. Arthroscopic surgery. What are you doing? Just vacuuming. Just a little housekeeper.
Yeah. What are you, if you're doing that, what? Like, what are you? You're not fixing anything. Like, you're not going in to repair anything.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going in. They got some loose particles, not particles, but they got some loose
bodies.
Bone
they got bodies, loose bodies.
Some little chips in there that you got to clean up. I don't like it either. I don't know.
It's bizarre.
Yeah,
it's so bizarre.
So I don't want to Stephen A. This. I don't want to get up. This. Uh-oh. I don't want to first Good take this morning. Situation.
I know where you're going.
This is Giannis's last year before he asked for
Well,
me. I mean, they're
if he wants
done.
To win,
they're about done.
Man, poor Dame. poor Dame went to Portland East.
Move them both. Next
summer. I don't see the pathway to victory for the Milwaukee Bucks.
They got Gary Trent Jr.
This is tough. Salute. Yeah, it was a good signing. Yeah. This is a good signing. Chris Middleton, that's he had surgery on both ankles, man. That's tough. So, you know, scope or not, like that's brutal. And that was the first thing you said yesterday. It was the first thing we thought of is I just don't know the Bucks. I don't know the Bucks road to being a championship contender again, mm-hmm. especially with the ascension of the Knicks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the Celtics are not going to be worse next year.
Pacers.
The Indiana Pacers. I'm going to wait and see with Philly. But fair enough. I'm going to wait and see with Philly.
Didn't they have Indiana at like 8 on their power rankings?
Did they? Oh, yeah. God.
Indiana was top 10. It was 8 or 9.
I got the power rankings here. Let's see. We got Boston. Oklahoma City was number 2. Minnesota was number 3. New York Knicks at number 4. Dallas, Philly at number 6.
Dallas at 5 is pretty goddamn.
Denver, Milwaukee. Milwaukee was number 8.
That's interesting.
Indiana was number 9. The Pacers made a surprise run to the East Finals last year, and they spent the offseason securing the core. Oh, think about that one, securing the Bagley. Securing the core. Of that run for the future, they re-signed Pascal Siakam, Obi Toppin to keep their rotation together going into next season. But with the added benefit that comes with the experience of a deep playoff run, now can the group continue to build on the unlikely postseason run? Sure.
It's whatever.
I'm okay with this. They're ahead of Cleveland. They're one slot ahead of Cleveland. Yeah. Speaking of, does Cleveland need to make the move for B.I.? Is that the team to do it?
Yes, 1,000%.
That's the one?
That's the one?
Because they're stuck.
Yeah, that'd be a good look.
It kind of feels like it almost feels like, try something. We know what this group can do, and they could probably continue to do it.
I think you would probably trade Darius Garland in that deal, and if you do that, at least you would – 2 max contract. What they probably should do is
does Darius and Deontay work together? That's where I was kind of like, I don't know if Pelicans take Darius. Maybe Cavs have something else for them.
Jared Allen is something else, and I really hope they don't do that.
I like Jared Allen.
That's a fit right there.
And I remember now that you bring up DeJounte, I remember this conversation. Yeah. As soon as the DeJounte trade got done, we were like, well, how are they gonna work with Cleveland now?
Yeah. Could be just straight up for Jared Allen, though. And I mean, you know, in some picks or whatever the case may be. But that both fill a need, and you can move Darius Garland in a separate deal.
If you're Cleveland, though, like the whole second apron stuff, like you're going to have to give B.I. the max.
Yep.
Like, does this make Cleveland?
Hey, you got to go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
Well, that, and
because at this point, sorry.
No, go ahead.
If you miss, you'll lose Donovan Mitchell and Brandon Ingram around the same mm-hmm. time anyways. Mm-hmm. So you're it sucks, but you're starting over.
And that would be my argument for a team, which I don't think is going to happen, but I'm just saying, like the Kings going towards the second apron. Like, it's time to go for it, to take a chance. If you don't get it, you start selling off guys in a year or two or whatever the case may be if you realize that you're not ready. But I think the Kings and Cleveland in the same type of space where it's like, yo, it's time to go. See what you can do. See what you can do. Kings, you've got Fox and Sabonis and Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Let's go get DeRozan. If you can get one more, go get one more.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you got Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley. Go. Let's go. This is it.
Cleveland is the last year's Kings. They're just running back the roster.
Mm-hmm. New coach.
And I was going to say, it's up to Kenny Atkinson to kind of piece this thing together.
I understand the respect. I think Dallas at 5 is a little high. It's a little
I don't have a – you know why I don't have a problem with it is I wouldn't put Philly above them right now because
I would.
Well, we know you would because you love Paul George.
I might put Milwaukee ahead of them.
Poor Joel Embiid. They was trying to bench him in Olympic play, for God's sakes. Exhibition Olympic play.
Heard he's hunting for fouls right now.
I'd put Philly ahead of them. I'd put Milwaukee ahead of them.
Ahead of the Pacers?
Wow.
Ahead of Dallas? Oh.
Really?
I mean, regardless of how we feel about Milwaukee, they were better than Dallas last year.
They were.
And the reason why they didn't advance more than one round is because their two best players went down.
I think that window's shut.
It might be, but they're better than Dallas.
It might be shut.
I don't know. Middleton's got surgery on both of his ankles now. Like, right now at this point, you're kind of just talking Dame and Giannis.
For the record, they weren't better.
Record-wise, they were better?
Bucks had 49 wins.
You know, 49. They did, but they also did lose Giannis within the last, what, month?
Felt like they lost Giannis all of the time. I barely remember Giannis playing last year. Mm-hmm. I know that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. I remember Dame playing. One game in particular.
Oh, gosh. We would have been in the playoffs.
Interestingly enough, I was on my way to see Matt George at the ABC 10 studio when that shot went in.
We never talk about that game enough. Like, we talk about...
That Bucks game?
Yeah, that was... tough. That was a great game, first of all.
Yeah.
Great comeback. Kevin Herter played phenomenal. And you just missed free throws. That was the same day the Packers beat the hell out of the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Okay. Well, your memory is special.
I was talking about that. I was talking about Dak. I think Dak threw for like 430 yards that game. 3 touchdowns. Boy, come on, stop. He was awful. It was awful. But you look at the numbers, it was like 430 for 3 touchdowns. Man.
You know, 60 times.
You know, like this show just has bits. Like Ben checking in 2.5 hours late saying Lupe Fiasco had the show goes on. Another favorite bit is Kenny finding some way to trash Dak Prescott's stats at some point during the
show. I'm with it.
Because they're fugazi.
Tell the truth.
They're not real, man.
Is he James Harden?
Oh, that's a good call. That is a good call. That's probably spot on. Just real quick before we get out of here. Dak Prescott in that 48-32 loss to the Green Bay Packers. He threw for, I was right, 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Did anybody watch that game and think Dak Prescott was any good?
Can't say
find you a show that can get you from Brandon Ingram on the Cleveland Cavaliers to Dak Prescott's trash numbers. We'll come back and we'll talk to Matt George here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I thought Matt was joking in the chat when he said, I'm not coming on anymore. Maybe he was serious.
Man, he was typing the funny stuff in all caps, and then he sent that one in like no caps.
Yeah.
He was
being serious. Matt, don't do that.
I thought Matt would side with me because I really didn't like the video that came out, but I don't know. Gilbert's asking, did we talk about Westbrook to the Nuggets yet? No. But I guess that's happening.
The Nuggets,
whatever.
The Nuggets, I don't know, man. They might.
It's the least Westbrook could do after eliminating them from the playoffs a couple of years ago and their fans not knowing and cheering because he hit an incredible shot on the day he clinched the triple-double thing. And
it was nice of him to go back there.
There was like one guy on the bench going, yeah, jackasses, we just got eliminated. Let's leave.
Keep your eye on the Nuggets, man. In a bad way.
In a bad way.
Yeah. Everybody's got them locked in as a top three and all this other stuff.
I feel like last year you guys were kind of onto it first. They're slowly losing depth year by year.
They've lost in consecutive years now, Bruce Brown and KCP. And the guys that they looked at this past season, that they're like, oh, no, we'll fill in the Bruce Brown loss with Christian Brown or something. Good ball player, but not that. Keep your eye on the Nuggets. The Nuggets...
We just had the list in front of us. Where did I say they were? Like
they were
fourth?
They were below the Mavericks, so they were like six or seven.
Oh, they were below the Mavericks, yeah. You're right. Seventh. They were seventh.
Keep an eye on the Mavericks falling below four.
Okay. So Oklahoma City at one, Sacramento at two?
I got Minnesota at one.
Show me again.
OKC got to show me again that they could be one. They're still a good team, but they aren't. Are they just gonna go back to back seasons, number one seed in the conference?
Well, let's tell the whole story.
Hey, you guys underrate Dame's Doc Rivers.
That's not a. That's not. That's not. That's
hear it
not
again good. One more time.
No. And all it is, all I don't even do the impression. I just do the little stall thing that he does,
like a confused Doc Rivers.
Kind of, yeah. This is a what'd you call it the other? This is a clipped Doc Rivers. This is a Lawrence Fishburne Doc Rivers.
So you doing an impression of Doc Rivers of Lawrence Fishburne being an actor?
Thank you. 1, 2, and 3 was really close. So it's not like Oklahoma City ran. Oklahoma City essentially got the number one seed because Denver coughed one up to San Antonio, yeah, right?
Wimby went crazy.
So there's it's not, they were the number one seed. They were. You don't take that away from them, but it's not like they ran away and dominated the conference like the Celtics did.
Fair enough.
Truth be told, I could see the top three teams being like that again. With Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Sacramento.
Yeah. I'm with that.
Thank you. I thought you were gonna let that slide.
57 wins at the top of the Western Conference. 56 for
so three. I was gonna say 56 was third.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 57, 56, 56. Yeah. Wow.
51 for four. I said the Kings have a floor of 52.
You going back down?
No.
That's a floor.
I'm at 50.
That's the floor you said.
They're going to win no less than 52 games. No less. Get a sticky, Ernie. Put it on the board.
Well, if Kim came to work, I'd ask her to get us a sticky.
Are they title contenders?
Right over there.
Are they title contenders if they win 52 or more?
Title contenders, no. I think they can get to the conference finals, though. But when I think of titles, I don't think they're better than the Celtics. I don't think they're better than the Knicks.
Well, I mean, as far as getting out the West, though, title contenders means you can get out your conference.
Conference.
Yeah. I mean, like contenders, you can get to the if you can get to the finals, you're a contender. I think.
I don't think they're better than Minnesota right now. I'm just I'm alone on this. I think the Kings can get OKC.
If they're not alone on that, the Kings played OKC last year.
If they played them. So that's where I talk about, like, are they better? Is OKC better or whatever the case may be? Probably, but I think the Kings can beat them in a series. They probably wouldn't be favored. So you could say that OKC is better than them for sure.
If they get anything above 52, we're going to be talking about them, I think.
Mm. That is the floor. They will win less than 52.
That's wild. The floor.
No less than 52.
What's the ceiling? 82?
81.
81-1?
Who's the one loss to? The
Washington.
The ceiling is probably like 57. Like, there's not a lot of variance.
It's a small house.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's a New York City apartment.
Man. Goodness gracious.
I don't think there'll be much variance in where they can be and where they'll end up. It's a 50-win team. I don't see them as a top team. Oh, well.
All right.
Shout out to my guy. Look, it's the Bay Bridge series all over again.
Well, it looks great. And he's got the Athletics wrap. What are you wearing?
A's can't afford hats anymore, so they just give him a little piece of ribbon with their name on it.
But I noticed
it doesn't say Oakland or Sacramento.
I was
going to
say, it just says Athletics.
Yeah, they don't claim a team.
Oh, yeah, man. I will say this in all seriousness. I'm surprised they did all that for this little schedule release.
Yeah.
I thought you just kind of put it out and leave it at that. That was a full-on production.
We've dubbed him Cobra Kai Matt. Cobra Kai Matt is here. Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast. Fantastic podcast, by the way. Arguably one of your greatest. Probably yesterday would probably be one of the top 10 episodes of all time.
Wow.
Well, I think the other nine feature both me and Kenny at different points. So it was one of the great episodes of all time.
All episodes with Kenny Caraway have been removed until apologies are issued.
I'm not going to be on Locked On for the next four or five years.
Casey's not allowed to enjoy baseball in Sacramento. Nope.
If your ass throws out the first pitch, I'm leaving this city.
No.
No shot. No shot. Absolutely none.
You're going to be out there with Uncle V.
That's my boy, no. Uncle V.
Don't no.
That's my boy.
It'll be not on the allowed. Same field that Kyle's throwing the first pitch at, which is so weird. Like, two different teams, same field. It's fine. It's fine.
ABC 10's Kevin John has thrown out a first pitch at a River Cats game before at Sutter Health Park, and he proceeded to do the moonwalk to get closer and still missed the plate by about 10 feet.
That is arguably the most Kevin John sentence ever uttered.
Mm.
He moonwalked down to get closer to the plate.
That's his move. If I ever throw the first pitch out, I'm firing it in there. That's what I keep telling Kyle to do.
You're and not.
Watch me.
Watch you're not me. Throwing the pitch.
Watch
no.
me. Well, then what? I can't throw it to a River Cats game?
You can have them.
Matt, let's start with Summer League as we navigate here. Well, actually, let's start with this. Your boy just set a floor of 52 victories for the Sacramento Kings. You in or out on that?
That's the only thing Kenny has said in the last about 35 minutes that I've enjoyed. I'm riding the high with Kenny in such a major way. The more I think about this team, like, the more I think they're going to be really, really, really good. Like, I think the thing standing in the way of this team and getting to that point that Kenny is at is simply health, knock on wood, right? Like, if this team is able to stay healthy and stay consistent, like, I think they're going to be a really, really dangerous team. Now, reality is 52 wins still might be middle of the pack in the West. We're talking about, like, top four, top five, which is fine. Like, that's improvement. I think, D'Lo, you and I discussed on the podcast about, like, expectations, and maybe it shouldn't be necessarily about what seed they end up in, but maybe win total should be what we're more looking at. And I think the expectation should absolutely be that this is a 50-plus win team. You added a six-time All-Star to the same core that won you 48 games a couple seasons ago and 46 last season when everything fell apart towards the end. Mm-hmm. So I like the 50-plus wins shout. I think floor being 52 is optimistic, but I love it, and I'm all for it, Casey.
No less than 52 wins.
I like
the
it.
Kings coming up this season. I see it. I haven't talked to you since it all went down. It was a crazy week with DeMar being introduced and everything else like that. So I just kind of want to backpedal a little bit to your experience being able to sit down, talk to DeMar DeRozan, get a vibe for him. Everybody was just, you know, going crazy about just him taking his time and speaking to everybody in the media and things of that nature. So what was your experience like talking to DeMar?
Oh, fantastic guy. I mean, absolutely fantastic guy. Just from the limited time that we got to speak with him, but we were chatting even a little bit before the interview started, and we were talking about the music and stuff that's going to be played every time he hits a bucket. And of course, everyone thinks it's going to be not like us, but I was telling him about, like, Malik Monk's the Latin prayer, Lord's Prayer, that they do every time Malik Monk hits a shot, and DeMar got a kick out of that. But no, he's just really down to earth, really straightforward, and he's authentic with his purpose for being here. He made it perfectly clear during his press conference and perfectly clear during the interview that I had with him as well. He's not here in Sacramento as a sunset last tour of his career. He's here to win. He's here to win basketball games. He chose the Sacramento Kings because he believes that he can win here. And when a six-time All-Star and, in my mind, future Hall of Famer is choosing Sacramento and to join the Sacramento Kings over markets like L.A. and Miami because he thinks there's a better chance to win here, I think that tells you something about where this team is at. Plus, the influence that De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk had on his decision, I don't think is something that should be overlooked, especially from the Kings' perspective, too. But my favorite part of the conversation that I had with DeMar, I got to talk to him about the age. I got to talk to him about 34, 35 years old. The only thing consistent that I'm seeing, whether it's from Sacramento or outside Sacramento, of criticizing this move has everything to do with the man's age. It's like, oh, he's 34, 35 years old. The Kings are paying him for the next 3 years, conveniently ignoring the fact that the third year is a partially guaranteed year anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Don't let facts get in the way of their hate.
Yeah, regardless. I mean, because if DeMar DeRozan was 38 years old and went to L.A. or Miami, it would have been the greatest signing of all time. But because it's in Sacramento, we got to find a negative about it. But they conveniently ignore the fact that he's had 11 straight seasons scoring 20 or more points. He's had the last three seasons, he's played 74 games minimum. And over that time, he's averaging 25 points per game. I mean, this is a guy that has only played 60 games or fewer in a season once. Right, and he has, I think, 11 or 13 seasons where he's played 70 or more games. The dude plays, and when he plays well. And there is zero statistical indication. There's zero indication, period, in any way that you look at it that suggests that he's going to have any drop-off whatsoever. That would be the anomaly, not the expectation. So getting to talk to him about that and hearing him talk about how much he values being available and how much he values like playing and how much he loves the game of basketball and how he loves to play for free during the summertime, right? That just, I mean, reaffirmed the idea that the Kings got not just a dude, they got their dude. And I think this is tremendous for the city.
You know, real quick, Matt talked about what DeMar was saying when he got into town about how he came here to win, like not just swan song or anything, came here to win. Eerily familiar to one of the last guys that first came into Sacramento. That was Mike Brown. Mike Brown was like, I came here to
talk about it. Yeah.
Period. Like, that's what we're here to do. And, you know, people laughed at him when he came in here and said that. And they've been winning games since he got here. I just get the same type of vibes with DeMar saying that.
Yeah, and he brought up the beam so many dang times. I think he's interested. I think he likes it. It was cool for him to bring that up as much as he did. He wants to light it right away. I wonder if that's a clause in his contract that the first Kings home win, he gets to light the beam, which regardless of if he scores 2 points or 50, he better light that thing. But he's really excited about it. Got the chance to talk to him about that too. I mean, he's just like, he is the epitome of consistency and consistent winning throughout his career and consistent success. Even when he was playing in San Antonio and that team was struggling, even the last couple of years in Chicago with that team struggling, he has been consistently good to great every single time, almost every single time he steps on the floor. And Sacramento Kings fans should know it well because he put 19 points up on Sacramento in the fourth quarter last time he was in the Golden 1 Center to steal a win from the Kings and make sure they couldn't light the beam. So if Kings fans don't understand what they have, they're going to know very, very quickly as soon as he steps on the Golden 1 Center floor for real for the first time.
I love the idea that the Kings can now sign free agents because of the beam. I want to press that button. That's what we're here for. What's the biggest thing you think DeMar brings on the floor? Like when you think about what this roster looks like, when you start thinking about what games look like, what's the biggest plus that you see DeMar DeRozan bringing this team?
A bucket. And I say
simple.
That.
Yeah.
I say that because I had a conversation. I'm doing a whole podcast about this, but I'll kind of give a little sneak preview here. I had a conversation with an active NBA assistant coach, and I was talking to him about what DeMar brings to the table, and this coach was just raving about this decision for the Sacramento Kings because he said DeMar addresses the biggest weakness of not last season's offense, two seasons ago, when the Kings were not just the best offense in the league, they were the best offense in NBA history at the time. But what was the problem with that team? If you took them out of their options, if you took them out of their sets, they struggled. Sacramento was a very good half-court offensive team as long as they ran their DHOs and their sets that they wanted to run, that kind of fluidity, hybrid, read-and-react offense. But as soon as we saw teams, and the Golden State Warriors did it very, very well in the playoffs, as soon as we saw teams start to try and take that away, be physical with the DHOs, back off of DeMontis Sabonis, the Kings would get late in the shot clock, and they would have one guy to bail them out. De'Aaron. That's why De'Aaron won Clutch Player of the Year. He was a mid-range merchant that year because De'Aaron was so good at essentially going and getting the Kings a bucket, whether it was in the fourth quarter or at any point during the game. DeMar DeRozan now brings another level to that. Now the Sacramento Kings have another guy who it's not just that he's going to help the Kings get those buckets in those spots. Mm-hmm. He is one of the best guys in the league at doing that. from the mid-range. So I don't really care about his weakness on the perimeter. The Kings have had a roster of guys that were three-point shooters surrounding Fox and Sabonis for the last two seasons. And we saw how far it could take them. What they were missing was another guy that, whether it was late in a possession, late in the shot clock, late in the game, De'Aaron was out of the game, did not matter. The Kings just added another guy that the Kings can go, this play got blown up, there's 7 seconds left, DeMar, ISO on the wing or on the block, go or on the elbow, go and get us a bucket, and DeMar can go and do that. And to have that guy that won't just help them in those spots, but think about this, guys. How many times were the Kings reeling last season on the wrong end of just these massive runs where they could not stop the bleeding? And half the time they were looking to Harrison Barnes to help them stop that bleeding. Now the Kings are on the wrong end of an 8-0 run. De'Aaron Fox is out of the game, hopefully not because he's injured, maybe because, I don't know, he needs some rest and can't play 48 minutes a night. DeMar DeRozan's in there. DeMar DeRozan stops the bleeding, rights the ship. Fox comes back in. Kings go on a run. Now they rebuild their lead or take the lead back themselves. Right? This is what DeMar brings to the table, and he's been doing it at an elite level his entire career, which once again has not slowed down at all the older he's gotten. In fact, he's gotten better at it the older that he's gotten, when he's relied less on the athleticism that he had coming into the league and more on the IQ and the skill that he has as a mid-range merchant. Plus, one more thing I'll throw out there too, DeMar DeRozan shot 39% in corner threes last year. So he's not useless on the perimeter. If you have to put him in the corner to let De'Aaron or anybody else go to work, DeMar is still good enough to either hit that shot or force defenses to respect him. He's a bucket every single way you put it.
You know,
you got to get all fired up about it.
It turned up. That's what I like. That's what I like for my guy, Matt, man.
Matt just got me excited for a completely fictitious situation that we saw play out one way and we, you know, hope to play out another way.
You know, I people always talk about, you know, King's colored glasses and all this other stuff, but I got to be honest with you. I don't see any negatives in this move. Not one. Now, hear me out when I say that. That doesn't mean that the Kings don't have areas of weakness. Yes, they do. But they had those areas of weakness already, right? It's not like DeMar got here and like, oh, that's good, but, you know, he's going to take away from this. And now this is – no, they already had things that they just kind of enhanced what they already were. And that's where I come with, like, what they already were was good enough to give you 46 to, you know, just being conservative, 49 wins if they would have stayed healthy. You added to that. Now you definitely should be a certified, verified 50-win team, certified, verified playoff team. Tell me if I'm wrong, Matt, or anybody. I don't see any negatives of DeMar DeRozan coming here. I just don't.
It's actually pathetic how hard some people have been working to try and find a negative outside of DeMar DeRozan's age. The fact that we now suddenly care about a pick swap in 2031, like it's a bigger freaking deal than DeMar DeRozan, a known commodity six-time All-Star. The Kings didn't lose their pick. They just swapped it with a San Antonio Spurs team that might be on God mode with Victor Wembanyama. They also might be terrible at that time because Victor Wembanyama decides to leave and go to L.A. or do something. We have no idea. We're talking years in the future here. The Sacramento Kings could be defending their fourth championship in a row at that point. They could also be starting another playoff draft. We don't know. So why the hell would you care more about swapping a pick in 6 years versus a known commodity in DeMar DeRozan, which you're adding? The Kings added a six-time All-Star and gave up next to nothing for it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful towards Harrison Barnes.
Oh, that was disrespectful.
No, he's been on the chopping block for the last two freaking years.
That's right.
The Kings were able to turn him into an upgrade at a similar position, granted not the size. DeMar DeRozan's a bit smaller than Harrison Barnes is. Harrison was obviously a part of it and was game four and is going to San Antonio, where I think he's going to be fantastic, by the way, for the San Antonio Spurs. I don't think he's going to suddenly start averaging 20 points per game, but the veteran leadership he and Chris Paul bring to that young Spurs core, plus how much Greg Popovich loves him. And if you don't believe me, Google Greg Popovich, Harrison Barnes, and read the amount of articles for when Harrison played for Pop on Team USA and how much Pop just loves and trusts HB. So it makes perfect sense for Harrison. The Kings turned it into an upgrade, and they still have assets available. They have their 2025 pick tied up still in this Atlanta deal. They now have 2031 stuck as a pick swap, which there are ways that they can trade that in the future. You know, they can still trade the pick swap. Whatever team trades for that just has to swap with San Antonio if that's what plays out in 2031. The Kings still have assets available and the flexibility, which has been Monty McNair's buzzword from the beginning, to be able to do more and add more versus going all in for Brandon Ingram or all in times 10 for Lauri Markkanen, which so many people were calling for.
I'll be 51 years old when that pick swap plays out. Like, I do not give a damn. Do whatever the hell you want to do. Let's transition a little bit. We're talking about the Kings and what this might look like this upcoming season. Matt, we're watching, you know, Kings basketball here over the course of the last few days. We got a few more days ahead of us, but Keon Ellis has been playing. Kenny and I have been wondering if maybe Keon is done playing summer league basketball, but he did play on a Wednesday, and we've been kind of trying to get to the bottom of. Had a great game yesterday, by the way. Has had a couple of good games, a couple of bad ones, but what we've really been trying to figure out today, Matt, is are they evaluating? Well, right on cue, shout out Sean Cunningham, who must be listening. Keon Ellis in street clothes for this afternoon's summer league game. His summer league duties have concluded. Sean just tweeted that.
Thank you.
So shout out to Sean Cunningham, clearly listening to us while he's in Las Vegas. Do you think they were evaluating, like truly, truly evaluating Keon Ellis in the summer league? Because for context, I want to give you what we were talking. Keegan last year was clearly, hey, home crowd, go be the man, take charge, be the number one option on this team. That doesn't feel like it was the objective with Keon this summer.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense. And I think like this is more of a read the tea leaves situation than anything. So many of us coming into this offseason were operating, myself included, with the belief that like Keon might be a permanent option at that starting two guard spot. I think all indications of Keon playing as much as he has in the Cali Classic and in Summer League in Vegas suggest that maybe the Kings aren't there and weren't there yet. And maybe the Kings felt like they needed to see more. And I think it's easy to forget that so much of Keon's success last season was a necessity. It wasn't, and he took the most, took advantage of the opportunity and made the most of it. But he got that starting role because Kings players were hurt, Fox was hurt, and Mike Brown refuses to start Malik. Like, that's why he got that opportunity. Again, Keon made the most of it, all power to him. And I think the way Keon has played last season, he more than has earned the NBA contract that he's on. And I think he's more than earned a consistent rotational spot. Like, to me, if we're looking at an 8 or 9 man rotation, Keon Ellis should be a part of that conversation on a nightly basis. But to me, the purpose of having Keon play in this summer league, initially I thought, okay, you don't have your rookie. Devin Carter's not playing. Okay, Keon Ellis, go out there and help kind of draw a crowd a little bit during the California Classic. Same way you had Keegan do a couple of years ago, blah, blah, blah. Now that he's played this much through summer league, this, to me, it's like, okay, we want to see how good Keon can be as a offensive option, because that's what's going to keep him in a starting lineup. That's what's going to win him that spot. Cause I think the expectations of what he can do defensively are clear, right? We expect what Keon brings defensively, the effort that he brings, you expect that every time he touches the floor. You don't have to worry about that. The question mark is, are you going to have the nights where Keon hits a couple threes and is playing well against the Golden State Warriors in the first play-in game, and then is MIA in the second play-in game against the New Orleans Pelicans? Which version of Keon is that? And can I get consistency on both ends? I think that's what the Kings have been looking for and we're hoping to see a little of in summer league. I have no idea if they saw it. Now with the addition of DeMar DeRozan and the expectation that Kevin Huerter is going to be here going forward, Keon's, unless he blows people away in training camp, Keon's days as a starter might be done. In fact, I think they should be, less because of him and more because of the guy that I want starting in that spot,
which is
Malik Monk.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And the only reason I asked, though, is because I don't know. We've been kicking around the idea of somehow, some way, Kevin Huerter still being involved in that discussion of being the starting two guard. I don't think it's the craziest thing ever. I don't think it's going to happen or it should happen. I'm with you. I think it should be Malik Monk. I'm ready for that time to start, that Monk-Fox backcourt era to start. But I do understand some of the arguments that people have for starting Herter. What do you think about just his role on this team potentially?
I think Kevin Herter's role, and this is a good tease to the podcast that I'm doing tonight, I think his role is clear regardless of what spot in the rotation he's playing. Kevin Herter's job is to come in, space the floor, and knock down threes. Like, if Kevin Herter is not hitting shots, take him out of the game. And you have options now. You have depth now to where, hey, Keon, those are your minutes tonight. Hey, whoever, those are your minutes tonight. Like, whoever's hitting shots. Hey, when the rookie comes back, Devin, those are your minutes tonight. If Kevin's not hitting his shots, he's not doing anything for you. And that sounds blunt, it sounds harsh, but that's the way to look at it. Now, that also opens the door to a massive amount of opportunity for Kevin. He can be a straight poacher. That could be his job, a perimeter poacher. You come into the game for a six-minute stretch, whether it's starting the game or coming off the bench, whatever the case may be. You play 6 minutes before getting subbed out. Your job is to get three shots up in those 6 minutes and hopefully knock down two of them. Like, Mike Brown has been consistent with, if the shot's there, take it. The only time he's going to cuss you out is if you have an open shot and you don't take it. That is the role that is made for Kevin Herter on this squad. I understand the argument completely for starting Kevin because of the spacing on offense. If that's the route the Kings go, I understand it. I disagree with it because I think the writing has been on the wall with Kevin's fit long-term with the Sacramento Kings. But also, make no mistake about it, too. The best version of the Sacramento Kings next season features Kevin Herter playing a prominent role. Because when he's hot, he's one of the best shooters in the league, period. And he's someone that defenses have to constantly keep an eye on or run the risk of leaving and getting torched. We saw Kevin shoot 50% in a month, for God's sakes, as a Sacramento King before. He's also seen multiple months of him in the mid-40s. So he can bring it, and the Kings know that they can use it. So whatever role he's playing with the Sacramento Kings or whatever position, whatever time he's in the game, his job is the same. I think it's hit shots and, as is expected of everybody, rebound the basketball.
Where do you think the Kings... What would you say the Kings' true defensive ability is? The beginning of what we saw last year or the end of what we saw last year?
I want to believe it's the end. What concerns me about the end is how we have now heard Mike Brown repeatedly, De'Aaron Fox repeatedly, and I think somebody else, I can't remember who.
Like 90% of the league.
mention officiating.
Yeah.
So if the Kings cannot play physical the way that they did the second half of the season, second half air quotes, really the final third of the season.
Right.
If the Kings cannot play that way because the officials are reverting back to ticky-tack fouls and giving the offense everything, if that's what we're going back to, and it was on both ends, by the way, it wasn't just a Sacramento screw job. Like, this was how the refs called fouls the first half of last season. If that's what it is, then I'm concerned about Sacramento's defense because they found a lot. They didn't just find success. They found enjoyment in playing physical defense. Mm-hmm. Everybody did from the very top too. De'Aaron Fox was enjoying playing defense that way. So that's what I'm most curious about. And I think it's concerning. You talk about the cliche in coaching and cliche in sports. Hey, control what you can control. You can't control how officials are going to call games. You can control how you react to those officials. But if you're going into next season with the expectation that the way we finished last season defensively is how we're going to be for a full 82 games, it's repeatable. Great. There's a variable to that that has nothing to do with you. And it has to do with guys who have the ultimate power and can't be questioned no matter how many challenges you have in Secaucus, New Jersey, whatever the heck they say. Right. Like, so I'm a little nervous about that part. But I asked Mike about that at the end of last season in his end of season press conference. I asked how repeatable and how much do you expect that defense to carry over? And in addition to what he said about the referees, he also said, I believe everything that we were doing correctly to end this season is 100% repeatable and will be improved by training camp time. Mm-hmm. So that if that's what he's saying, that should be the expectation. But the referee variable is certainly interesting.
So there are two things that come out of that, though. Number one, it's an encouraging sign, and we talked about this the other day. is even if the referees come out and start the season the way they did last year, history tells us they'll revert back at some point. That's what happens all the time. There's this drastic whatever with technical fouls, physical play or whatever for a month and a half. And then eventually things always settle back in to how they are. And if that happens again, that benefits the Kings. The other thing, hearing you talk about it as well, is for all the talk of the Kings not being a good defensive team, that would be that'd be two straight year seasons maybe where we see them be the ultra aggressive physical defensive team. I always point back to that playoff series against the Warriors. They had the culmination of what Mike Brown was trying to teach them all season. It came to a head in that playoffs. They were getting after it in those first two games on the defensive end. And I always say, to the point where the Warriors are like, this is too much. All right, you guys are being a little too physical.
They're using the ball as a weapon.
J.J. Redick, this is not fair, okay? And I say all that to say that might kind of be part of their identity at this point, playing a physical brand. And it's interesting because I don't think of the Kings that way. But now in back-to-back seasons, in two instances, we've seen when they're allowed to be physical, they bring the pain. And I wonder if maybe they can start that off from the start of the season this year, carry that over like Mike Brown was just talking about.
The one thing that needs to be addressed, regardless of how officials are calling games or not, is just the Kings need to have some semblance of a presence on the perimeter. How bad they were torched from three-point range consistently last season was their biggest issue, to where Mike pointed out multiple times, because I think it was his son or somebody who was sending him numbers going, Dad, if you were an average three-point defense, you'd be a top 10 or top 15 defensive team. That was early in the year. That wasn't when they started to figure things out, right? So the Kings need to find a way. Now, I thought one of their biggest issues with that was their lack of size, and to some extent they've gotten smaller by trading Harrison Barnes away to bring in DeMar DeRozan. So there's a question mark still about their overall perimeter defense as well. Hopefully Devin Carter helps with that when he's able to play too. But like, even more than the officiating, if you can, like Mike had to straight up teach these guys how to close out properly at points last season. That hopefully that is well in the past. If the Kings have a perimeter defensive presence, and hopefully the physical way that they play can help with that, then I expect this Kings team to be significantly better defensively from the get-go.
Is that all we're talking about, really, is physicality?
I think that is the foundation of how the Kings want to play on defense. Play physical. They don't
the
want
foundation
to
of how Mike Brown wants to play on defense.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Move your feet. Guard with your chest, not your arms. That's what De'Aaron Fox has gotten really good at over the last 2 years. Go back, just watch how many. You can just watch through old games and see how many times players tried to beat De'Aaron off the dribble, which is already a mistake. And he would just move his feet, almost put his hands behind his back, put his chest out, and they wouldn't get by him. Like that's like the MO or the epitome of how Mike wants this team to defend. And if you got your star doing it, that means everybody should be doing it too.
That's a Doug Christie special. Put your hands down. Mm-hmm. Get your hands down. Put your chest out. Great stuff, Matt, as always. We appreciate you. We're excited to get through this offseason, man, and get to October and see what's next for this Sacramento Kings team that I think everyone feels like got better.
What's next on the docket? They finish in summer league. Olympics happens. Probably schedule release is next, huh?
Schedule release.
In August, maybe?
Yeah. Sure.
Might be on the
hell, there's no WNBA game until August 18th, right. So maybe that is what we're talking about. And as a Kings fan, like, I'm locked into the – I mean, I actually am excited for the Olympics, but as a Kings fan, I don't care nothing about the Olympics.
No.
Just Domas come back in one piece.
Domas ain't even going, huh? They didn't make it, did they?
They didn't make it?
Mm-mm.
They didn't make it.
Domas is here or something, ain't it? Didn't TMZ talk to him at the airport?
I did that.
Yeah, he came home.
That's right. That was a wild tweet from Sean Cunningham. TMZ caught up with Domas Sabonis. What? The hell was Domas doing out at the club? Yeah.
So.
Poor guy didn't make the Olympics. Oh, good.
Yeah, good. Get some rest.
You worried? We got like a minute. You worried about the Devin Carter situation at all? The fact that he's going to miss the start of the season and I think he's a guy they really like that they're going to have to try to figure out later on.
The only thing I'm disappointed with is that he's missing training camp, and that's the bulk of the practice time that you get, especially as a point guard, how important that is. Like, you don't practice during the regular season. You kind of do, but you don't really. Mike already has the most practice days out of any other coach, and he's called a freak for it, right? Because he has this team practice so much. Shoot around don't count. They don't practice in shoot around. But the good thing that I feel about Devin Carter, number one, is 6 months looks terrible when you read it, but when you actually do the math, 6 months is like early January. Mm-hmm. And if you were to do 6 months from the day that they announced it, not that that's accurate, but let's just play that. 6 months from the day they announced it was like very early January. The Kings last season at that point were like 30 something games into the season. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about him being back for the second half of the year, hopefully. The best part about Devin Carter, in my mind, you can just let him go. Release him, and he plays the way he plays. And that'll be valuable.
Well, JT Lowe brings up a great point. Just rest Carter for the finals. That's a solid, solid point right there.
And he needs to work on his attitude. But
well, apparently he does. Locked On Kings, available wherever you get podcasts from. Also available on YouTube. Also, you can check out Matt's great work over on ABC 10 and his great work with us every Thursday. We will see you back here tomorrow at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, nobody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.